Now, fourthly and lastly, the guru is not a problem solver. Now, what does this mean? What is a problem? I distinguish between a problem on the one hand and a difficulty on the other. A difficulty is something that can be overcome with effort. You put a bit more effort in, a bit more energy, the difficulty can be overcome, it can be resolved. But a problem isn't like that. If you've got a problem, and if you put a lot of effort into it, a lot of energy into it, even to solve it, what happens is you make the problem worse. You increase the problem. It's like pulling, we may say, the two ends of a piece of string in order to untie the knot in the string. You may have a piece of string with a knot in it. So you take hold of the two ends and you pull hard. But what happens? You only succeed in tightening the knot. So putting energy into the solution of a problem is rather like that. You make the problem worse, tighter, more difficult to solve. Now we may say there are two kinds of problems. There are doctrinal problems and there are personal problems, usually psychological problems. And I can say from my own experience that doctrinal problems are more popular in the East. There, when people come along to you, they want to ask you questions about mind, about nirvana, about the skandhas, about sankskaras, and so on. All sorts of technical doctrinal questions. But in the West, personal problems, personal psychological problems are more popular. But one can say, with regard to the East, that even the doctrinal problems are very often psychologically motivated, or at least psychologically oriented. In other words, one asks, even the doctrinal question, even the abstract theoretical question, ultimately for personal psychological reasons. But usually one is not conscious of this. Now, a problem embodies a self-contradictory situation, and it cannot be solved on its own terms. A problem cannot be solved on its own terms. Or, if you like, to make it clearer, that which cannot be solved on its own terms, or a difficulty which cannot be solved or overcome on its own terms. This sort of difficulty I call a problem. But the guru is asked to solve the problem on its own terms. Let me give you a few examples. For instance, a woman comes along. She's very upset, very distraught, in great distress. And she tells you eventually that she just can't live with her husband any longer. She's had enough. If she has to put up with any more, she'll just go stark staring mad. So she's just got to leave him. But she adds, if she leaves her husband, she's got to leave her children too. But leaving her children is no less impossible than continuing to stay, continuing to live with her husband. She is not only will she go mad if she has to stay with her husband, she'll go mad if she has to leave her children. So she asks, what is she to do? And of course, she makes it clear, it's quite impossible for the children to leave their father. So she asks you, what should she do? The guru is expected to solve this problem. Somebody else comes along and complains of lack of energy. They say, I'm always tired, always depleted, exhausted. I can't do anything. I can't take any interest in anything. I just like a limp, wet rag. I just lie around all day, lie in my bed, you know, listen to the radio a bit. I can't do a thing. I have no energy, drained of energy. But they say, I know there's one way out. There's one way that can save me. I can get energy through meditation. I know that. I'm convinced of that. So the guru says, well, why don't you meditate? And he says, but I haven't got the energy. So the guru is expected to solve this problem too. Then another person comes along and says that he just wants to be happy. That's all he asks from life. He just wants to be happy. And he can be happy. It's very easy for him to be happy if only someone will give him a really satisfactory reason for being happy. He can then be happy. He's examined all the reasons that people have offered, religions have offered, philosophies have offered, friends have offered, but he's found none of them really satisfactory, so he can't be happy. So will the guru please give him a reason for being happy? That's his problem. But the guru, of course, knows that every reason that he can produce will be rejected as unsatisfactory. But still, the man demands a reason. So guru has to solve this problem too. Now, if one was to ask, if one was to question these people, they'd all say that they want their problem to be solved, and that's why they've come to the guru. And they've got great confidence in him. They firmly believe, they say, that he can solve the problem for them if only he wants to. But actually, this is not the situation at all. What do these people really want? What do they really want to do? What they really want to do is to defeat the guru. They present their problem in such a way that the guru cannot solve their problem without their consent or cooperation. And of course, this consent they've no intention of giving. But of course, they demand that he should solve their problem. Now, of course, there's a reason why they do all this. There's a reason for all this sort of devious behavior, but we're not going into that now. One might, though, just remark that some such people are often very, very cunning. It's amazing how cunning they can be, and very often, and one has noticed this especially in the East, very often they approach the guru with a great show of devotion and humility. They may bring offerings, presents, they bow down and they declare their absolute confidence in the guru. And they say, well, look, I've been to lots of other gurus, lots of other famous teachers and masters, and I've put my problem to them, but not one of them could solve it. And now I've come to you, because I'm quite sure that you can. I've heard so much about you. I'm sure that you're the man, you're the person who can solve my problem. So a guru who isn't very experienced, or who isn't perhaps even a true guru, may be taken in by all this, but the true guru will at once see the situation, and he will refuse to function as a problem solver. And the person putting the problem, or trying to put the problem, may very likely go away very discontented and very disgruntled and say that the guru is very unsympathetic, very uninterested, unkind, indifferent, and that in fact he isn't a true guru at all. I might even say that some gurus have got very bad reputations for refusing to play this sort of game. Now, the fact that the guru is not a problem solver in this sort of way doesn't mean that he won't help people overcome their genuine difficulties, but he's not a problem solver in this sense, even though people try to make him one.